This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can now watch the TV version of our show on Free Speech TV, weekdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. The tragic cases of Sandra Bland in Texas and Freddie Gray in Maryland brought to the forefront the disturbing incidents of unexplained deaths in police custody in the U.S. While individual stories crop up in the news frequently, there is no national accounting of how many people die while in custody. The Justice Department recently announced that it would begin implementation of the Deaths in Custody Reporting Act, which was passed a couple of years ago. But dozens of advocacy organizations, including the NAACP, ACLU, and Amnesty International, have written to the DOJ saying that they're troubled by how lax the reporting requirements are for police departments. Police custody and jail deaths are a part of the bigger problem that movements like Black Lives Matter are drawing attention to. Joining me now is Justin Mazzola. He is a researcher with Amnesty International USA. Welcome to the program, Justin.
Thank you, Sonali. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, what exactly is meant by custody, first of all? When police arrest somebody, that somebody is usually immediately in police custody, then they're taken to be booked, they're often in jail. Is custody that time between arrest and jail, or does it include jail or even prison?
It does, and it's supposed to. And that's the big question, is that the legislation itself, the Death in Custody Reporting Act, is actually a little bit more expansive. It looks at interactions where police are in the process of arresting somebody or detaining somebody. The problem with the regulations that have been put forward by the Department of Justice is that that hasn't been defined in any way. So it's been somewhat left open, and it needs to be defined further.
So the Justice Department isn't even defining that question, which was the first question that occurred to me, which is, what does custody mean?
Right, exactly. It's kind of open-ended in terms of whether they mean custody in terms of somebody who's been stopped. Technically, you're being detained at that point, but once you're in the process of being arrested, you then are technically in custody, and then goes all the way through to, you know, arrest and going in front of a trial and being prosecuted or being held until trial, which is what most people think of as custody. But it actually starts much earlier in terms of a legal definition. But in the regulations themselves that the DOJ has put forward with this new process with the Bureau of Justice Statistics, they haven't clearly defined that, and it needs to be spelled out further.
Right. We're talking about hundreds of police departments across the country, each with their own way of keeping statistics, disparate methods of doing things, whether at the state level or at the city or locality level, city level. Obviously, if the outlines of what's required for reporting aren't clearly specified, how is the Justice Department going to make sense of these statistics? Any statistician or researcher knows that you need to have the same standard for every reporting requirement in order to compile all the data together, right?
Exactly, and that's part of the problem. There's tens of thousands of law enforcement agencies across the country.
Right, not just hundreds, you're right, tens of thousands.
Anywhere between 18 to 20,000, according to different estimates and who you speak to. So it really does need to have an overarching definition so that when law enforcement agencies are required to report under the Death in Custody Reporting Act, that data set is clear and consistent across the board, so that we're getting the type of data that we need to be able to analyze whether or not there is an issue with a particular law enforcement agency or a particular officer, for instance, or if it's system-wide, if it's something that needs to be addressed across the country.
Right. I mean,
that's what we get. Statistics.
Right, exactly. Right. If you were collecting proper statistics, you would notice whether one city seems to have inordinately high numbers of police custody deaths, which would indicate a serious problem. And a big part of the issue, of course, is police reporting on themselves. I understand that this Justice Department proposal actually even says that it would rely on media reports of police custody deaths. Tell me a little bit more about this.
Exactly. So the first step of the process is that the Bureau of Justice Statistics would collect media accounts of incidents or deaths that occur across the nation. This is reporting that is basically being, or you know, a type of data recording that's already being done by the Guardian newspaper as well as the Washington Post. There are a few other open source type websites like Fatal Encounters and Murdered by Police where users upload the information. So we already have the parameters around this. The problem is that under the Death in Custody Reporting Act, there is actually an accountability mechanism. So it actually requires the law enforcement agencies to report these deaths on their own. And then if they don't, they actually pull funding from the agency under certain federal funding schemes that normally go out annually during the federal budget. They would actually lose their funding under those two types. But the issue is that there may be instances where law enforcement, so the plan was to collect all this information from media, then go to the law enforcement agency to corroborate and get details and report any other cases that haven't been reported.
That sounds far too convoluted, right? Shouldn't it just be report anytime somebody dies in your custody?
A little bit. And it also does, there's nothing in the details of the Department of Justice regulations for the Bureau of Justice that would actually hold the law enforcement agency to report back. So if they do get sent these cases or have other cases that they haven't reported previously or that haven't been documented, there's no penalty or accountability for not actually submitting that information back to the Department of Justice or the Bureau of Justice Statistics. So basically, you just have a larger version of what we currently have with the FBI data, where they solicit this data from the law enforcement agencies, but there's no requirement. So the FBI data puts the numbers at roughly around 450 people killed each year, which, as we know from the reporting on The Guardian, is
Now, are you talking about FBI reporting of police killings in general that would include police custody deaths? Okay.
Yes.
So the Guardian found over 1,000. The FBI is only about half that, or less than half that.
Less than half of that. And part of the problem is that there is no, under the current system that the FBI does, there is no requirement to actually report. There's no penalty in not reporting. And that was the issue that we raised 2 years ago after Mike Brown's death and Eric Garner's death, is that we really don't know. And that's part of, in terms of Amnesty International, under international law, that's part of the accountability mechanism under international law, is that there needs to be data and information regarding each and every death. That's a primary responsibility for law enforcement agencies under international law.
Yeah, I mean, it's a responsibility of our government to make sure that this data is, you know, if a government agency is really doing its job, it will be making sure that we know exactly how many people are being killed by taxpayer, by the police officers that are paid for by our taxes. Now, what do we know right now about specifically police custody deaths? The Guardian is keeping track, and other media institutions are keeping track of police killings, but is anybody tracking police custody deaths? Just to give us a ballpark figure of how serious an issue police custody deaths are.
Yeah, I mean, the Guardian, at least, I know the Washington Post focuses mainly on police use of firearms, specifically in use of lethal force in those kinds of contexts. But the Guardian's is much more expansive. It does look at incidents. So, for instance, when somebody dies following the use of a taser, whether they die from other uses of force, and includes cases that align with the traditional sense of custody, so people who are in physical detention and die in that sense as well. So if they're being held under bail or bond, awaiting trial and they die, things like that. So their numbers are slightly higher than the Washington Post. But again, not every case, and those are just going on local media reports, and not every case is reported, or they may in their own documentation clearly miss certain cases as well. So it's not complete. Which is why we're all pushing for the law enforcement agencies, since they're the ones with the direct knowledge, to be required to report and have penalties for not reporting.
Right. I mean, we know that unless the family of a person, of a police victim, makes a big deal about it, or if they're, you know, which then leads to more media coverage, often these things just aren't reported. I mean, if you're talking about, for example, a homeless person, somebody who might be struggling with drug addiction that society has forgotten about, and this person dies in police custody, the media is not reporting it, that person just essentially has disappeared. Tell us about the letter that 67 organizations, including your organization, Amnesty International, wrote to the DOJ. What have you laid out in that letter that you think needs to happen in the collection of these statistics? How should the DOJ be holding police departments accountable for police custody deaths?
It's mainly living up to the terms of the Death and Custody Reporting Act. You know, having a clear definition, some of the things that we've already spoken about in terms of having a clear definition with regards to what constitutes custody, so that we do have a clear sense across all law enforcement agencies across the entire country, in every state, in every city and locality, about what that term actually means, so that they do include every case. But then also having, like I said, the penalty component for accountability purposes, so that these law enforcement agencies are actually required to report, otherwise they lose the funding, which is what was initially intended by the legislation that was passed and signed in 2014.
So I understand that there's public comment period until early October. So actually, one doesn't have to be a member of Amnesty International to throw one's weight behind requiring the DOJ to do the right thing. How can the public get involved?
Well, there's actually a component in the notice that went out to write specifically to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, who is actually organizing the comments acceptance process and review process. So if you go on the Bureau of Justice Statistics or the Department of Justice website and look for the information around the death and custody reporting process, there is an email that's provided where you can submit these comments and have them included. Because that was one question that we also had in terms of the commenting period, is that it wasn't quite clear whether or not it was being made for specifically the public or the quote-unquote public and impacted agencies. And we have tried to reach out to the Bureau of Justice Statistics to try to clear that out. Basically the consensus is that regardless of what they feel, people should be reporting and submitting comments directly to the
Justin, you know, I just want to sort of step back and look at the broader issue here. We're talking about the federal government collecting nationwide statistics on essentially what is an unacceptable epidemic that most other industrialized nations do not have. You know, this level of police violence and deaths in police custody is a huge issue. There's so little accountability, almost never police charges or convictions or prison time. And it's kind of sad that we're talking not just about how to hold police accountable, but simply how to get them to tell us what they're doing. I mean, it's just, you know, does it feel like the Justice Department essentially, you know, is complying with this culture that we have in our country, that we have to bend over backwards to police, and the police are placed on this pedestal where no matter how much they prove us, how much they prove themselves to be violent and unaccountable, we have to hold them to far lower standards than the rest of us? I mean, that, it just seems to me to be the broad issue that we're talking about here.
And it's part of the Department of Justice and the federal government's responsibility for more than 20 years now. With the Violent Victims Control Act, they actually were required to produce this type of data back in the mid-1990s and produce annual reports on this information, but they have failed to do so. So it really is the inability of the Department of Justice to follow through on what they were required to, under at least on the use of lethal force. But the other component of it is that our standards and laws with regards to the use of lethal force and accountability for that when that standard has been transgressed are woefully out of whack and do not meet international law standards and the U.S.'s obligations under international law for restricting the use of lethal force to those incidents where it's in order to protect the life of the officer or others from an imminent threat of death or serious injury. And having specific accountability mechanisms built into the law to ensure that outside agencies are the ones that are investigating it. And that, again, in terms of what we've been talking about this evening, is really having data to make sure that even in incidents where lethal force is used, that it's being used appropriately and that there aren't any negative trends or issues with, like I mentioned, an individual officer or an agency or a system-wide issue.
Right. It seems like we've just been so seduced by the, over the last couple of decades, by this tough on crime approach that police just seem to have not been held to the standards that one would expect. And as you said, international standards. Justin, give out a website for Amnesty International, and also where can people find out more information about this Justice Department rule that it's getting public comment on? You mentioned the DOJ website as well.
Yeah, so if you go to www.amnestyusa.org/deadlyforce, that is all of our work based on a report that we produced last year, which talked about some of the statutes, the state statutes with regards to the use of lethal force and our findings with that. And then going to the U.S. Department of Justice website, the federal website, and doing a controlled search for the Death and Custody Reporting Act should get you to the statement from the DOJ about the new process, as well as the links to all of the steps that have been undertaken so far with regards to the Bureau of Justice Statistics and how to submit comments.
Justin, thank you so much for joining us today. Best of luck to you.
Thank you, Sonali.
Justin Mazzola is a researcher with Amnesty International USA. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.